Let us continue our research to find out if there will always be Catholic bishops in the world, although Father Philan has just proven that there are no Catholic bishops in the traditionalist movement. Pope Pius XII taught in his address to the Second World Congress of the Lay Apostolate, October 5, 1957, quote, "The hierarchy alone is responsible before God for the government of the Church," unquote. The Acts and Decrees of the Vatican Council, 1870, teach, quote, "The Church is a perfect and hierarchical society. In this respect, she is not a society of equals, in which all the faithful enjoy the same rights, not only because, among the faithful, some are clergy and others laity, but above all, because there is in the Church a power instituted by God in order to sanctify, to teach, and to govern, which certain ones have received and others have not," unquote, from the Acts and Decrees of the Vatican Council in 1870. Two fundamental principles are sanctioned in Canon 108, quote, "All the clergy are not of the same grade, but there is a sacred hierarchy among them, some being subordinated to others. By divine institution, the sacred hierarchy, as regards order, consists of bishops, priests, and ministers," unquote, from Canon 108. Please answer question 121. Do you believe that Jesus Christ founded his Church as a hierarchical society, and therefore, in the Catholic Church, there will always be Catholic bishops, priests, and ministers? In the Liturgical Year, by Dom Geringer, Imprimatur, February 1924, Volume 8, pages 130 and 131, we read, quote, "This Church is a society unto which all mankind is invited. It is composed of two classes of members, the governing and the governed, the teaching and the taught, the sanctifying and the sanctified," unquote, from the Liturgical Year. Please answer question 122. Do you agree that there cannot be governing, teaching, and sanctifying members of the Church without Catholic bishops? Review more from Pope Leo XIII in Satis Cognitum. Quote, "Christ constituted Peter not only pastor, but pastor of pastors. Peter, therefore, feeds the lambs and feeds the sheep, feeds the children and feeds the mothers, governs the subjects and rules the prelates, because the lambs and the sheep form the whole of the Church," unquote, from this part of Satis Cognitum. Please answer question 123. Do you believe Pope Leo XIII taught the truth when, guided by the Holy Ghost, he specifically taught the lambs and the sheep form the whole of the Church? Once more, we need to listen to Jesus Christ speak to us through Pope Leo XIII in his encyclical Satis Cognitum. Quote, "But if the authority of Peter and his successors is plenary and supreme, it is not to be regarded as the sole authority, for he who made Peter the foundation of the Church also chose 12 whom he called apostles," from St. Luke chapter 6, verse 13. "And just as it is necessary that the authority of Peter should be perpetuated in the Roman pontiff, so, by the fact that the bishops succeed the apostles, they inherit the ordinary power, and thus, the episcopal order necessarily belongs to the essential constitution of the Church, although they do not receive plenary or universal or supreme authority. They are not to be looked on as vicars of the Roman pontiffs, because they exercise a power really their own and are most truly called the ordinary pastors of the peoples over whom they rule," unquote, from that part of Satis Cognitum. Please answer question 124. Do you agree that the infallible church, which will last until the end of time, will never lose what necessarily belongs to its essential constitution, namely the episcopal order? Satis Cognitum informs us of another very important truth related to the last quote. Quote, "From this text it is clear that by the will and command of God, the church rests upon St. Peter, just as a building rests on its foundation. Now the proper nature of a foundation is to be a principle of cohesion for the various parts of the building. It must be the necessary condition of stability and strength. Remove it, and the whole building falls. It is consequently the office of St. Peter to support the church and to guard it in all its strength and indestructible unity. How could he fulfill this office without the power of commanding, forbidding, and judging, which is properly called jurisdiction? It is only by this power of jurisdiction that nations and commonwealths are held together. A primacy of honor and the shadowy right of giving advice and admonition, which is called direction, could never secure to any society of men unity or strength. The words, 'and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it,' proclaim and establish the authority of which we speak. What is the 'it'?" writes Origen. "Is it the rock upon which Christ builds the church, or the church?" The expression indeed is ambiguous, as if the rock and the church were one and the same. I indeed think that this is so, and that neither against the rock upon which Christ builds his church, nor against the church, shall the gates of hell prevail." The meaning of this divine utterance is that, notwithstanding the wiles and intrigues which they bring to bear against the church, it can never be that the church committed to the care of Peter shall succumb or in any wise fail. Unquote from that part of Satis Cognitum. Please answer question 125. Do you believe this truth? The church can never succumb or in any wise fail? Please answer question 126. Do you agree that this could not be true without Catholic bishops on earth with an office, authority, jurisdiction, and mission, which are part of its essential constitution? Pope Pius XII, January 14, 1958, wrote, "The fidelity of this submission to the authority of the Church sprang from his, St. Thomas Aquinas, firm persuasion that the living and infallible magisterium of the Church is the immediate and universal rule of Catholic faith." Unquote. Please answer question 127. Are bishops with jurisdiction and authority living in this world necessary to have a living and infallible magisterium? The canons and decrees of the Sacred and Ecumenical Council Trent, Session 23, teach, quote, Canon 1. If anyone saith that there is not in the New Testament a visible and external priesthood, or that there is not only power of consecrating and offering the true body and blood of the Lord, and of forgiving and retaining sins, but only an office and bare ministry of preaching the gospel, or that those who do not preach are not priests at all, let him be anathema. Canon 6. If anyone saith that in the Catholic Church there is not a hierarchy by divine ordination instituted, consisting of bishops, priests, and ministers, let him be anathema. Canon 7. If anyone saith that bishops are not superior to priests, or that they have not the power of confirming and ordaining, or that the power which they possess is common to them and to priests, or that orders conferred by them without the consent or vocation of the people or the secular power are invalid, or that those who have neither been rightly ordained nor sent by ecclesiastical and canonical power, but come from elsewhere, are lawful ministers of the word and of the sacraments, let him be anathema. Unquote from this part of the canons and decrees of the Sacred and Ecumenical Council of Trent. Carefully read Canon 1 above and tell me if you are willing to believe there is not a visible and external priesthood. Are you willing to believe there is no one living that has the power of consecrating and offering the true body and blood of the Lord? Are you willing to believe that only the office exists, but there are no physical priests or bishops to fill it? Carefully read Canon 6 above and tell me if you are willing to believe there is not a hierarchy consisting of bishops, priests, and other ministers. Note that the canon reads, quote, is not a hierarchy, unquote. It does not read, was not a hierarchy, unquote. As if the hierarchy has now died out and no lawful clerics with jurisdiction exist anywhere on earth. Can there be a Catholic Church without a hierarchy, even though Jesus Christ told us through Pope Leo XIII that, quote, the episcopal order necessarily belongs to the essential constitution of the Church, unquote, from Pope Leo XIII. The word rightly in Canon 7 is exceedingly important. It means much more than just having valid orders. If valid orders were the only thing the infallible Church was concerned about, the Church could have left the word rightly out of this sentence. Please answer question 128. Do you believe rightly ordained means that those men being consecrated bishops received the approbation of a legitimate pope? Please answer question 129. Do you agree that the traditionalist movement bishops were not, quote, sent by ecclesiastical and canonical power, but come from elsewhere, unquote, and therefore they are not lawful ministers of the word and of the sacraments? Please answer question 130. Do you agree that the traditionalist movement bishops and priests are not lawful ministers of the word, and therefore they are not permitted by the Church to preach sermons? The result is that bishops and priests who are not rightly ordained are not lawful ministers of the sacraments. All those who know this and still request to receive the sacraments from them commit sin, as St. Thomas explains. You can see the supplement to the Summa, question 19, article 6. And see also the quote given above from the Catholic Dictionary by William E. Addis and Thomas Arnold. The Council of Trent teaches the following important truth, quote, those who of their rashness assume them, ordination and consecration, to themselves, are not ministers of the Church, but are to be looked upon as thieves and robbers who have not entered by the door, unquote. The Holy Ghost wrote in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, take heed to yourselves and to the whole flock, wherein the Holy Ghost hath placed you bishops, to rule the Church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood, unquote, from the Acts of the Apostles. Please answer question 131. Do you believe that unless the Holy Ghost hath placed bishops in the Church, they are incapable, unsuitable, and unqualified to rule the Church of God? Please answer question 132. Do you believe that there must be a pope with the authority of the Holy Ghost to place bishops who can rule the Church of God? Please answer question 133. Do you agree that no pope with the authority of the Holy Ghost was used to place the Traditus Movement bishops in the Church? Please answer question 134. If no pope gave them jurisdiction and authority, do you believe you had better stay away from those thieves and robbers before they steal your soul? From the Liturgical Year by Dom Geringer, Imprimatur, February 1924, Volume 8, page 261, we read, quote, Hierarchy means sacred government. It comprises three degrees, the episcopate, priesthood, and diaconate, in which last are included the orders below it. This is called the hierarchy of order to distinguish it from the hierarchy of jurisdiction, unquote, from that part of the liturgical year. And then we read from the liturgical year on page 150. Peter will ever institute the bishops. The bishops will ever delegate a portion of their own authority to the priests who have the charge of souls. No human power shall ever be able to intercept this transmission or have power to set up as pastors them who have not partaken of it. Unquote from that part of the liturgical year. Please answer question 135. Do you agree that no lawful successor of Peter ever instituted and approved of even one of the Traditus Movement bishops being consecrated? Please answer question 136. Do you believe that if they did not come through Peter, they are non-Catholic bishops? We know some schismatic and heretical churches have valid bishops, but those bishops were not instituted by Peter. Please answer question 137. Do you agree that the Church says Catholics should have nothing to do with bishops that are not instituted by Peter? To understand the term hierarchy, we open Dictionary of Dogmatic Theology by Pietro Parenti, Antonio Piolanti, and Salvatore Garofalo, Imprimatur, May 1, 1951, pages 124 and 125. Quote, hierarchy, from a Greek word meaning sacred authority, the body of persons participating in ecclesiastical power, which is divided into power of orders and power of jurisdiction. The power of orders is immediately directed to the sanctification of souls, to the offering of the sacrifice of the Mass, and the administration of the sacraments. The power of jurisdiction, on the other hand, is immediately directed to ruling the faithful. Since sacred power is twofold, hierarchy is likewise twofold, and therefore we have in the Church the hierarchy of orders, constituted by the body of persons having the power of orders in its different grades, and the hierarchy of jurisdiction, consisting in the series of those persons who have the power of teaching and governing. The two hierarchies, although very closely related, are really distinct. Orders are conferred by the appropriate sacrament, while jurisdiction originates through canonical mission. Unquote from this Dictionary of Dogmatic Theology. Pope Pius the 12th August 2nd, 1958 wrote, The Church has received in its totality the deposit of faith and of grace. All revealed truth and all the means of salvation left as a heritage by the Redeemer, baptism, the Eucharist, and the priesthood. Do this in commemoration of me. The communication of the Holy Ghost by the imposition of the hands of the apostles, the remission of sins, receive ye the Holy Ghost, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. the government of the faithful by the power of jurisdiction exercised in the name of Christ and with the abiding assistance of the Holy Ghost. Here, sketched in a few words, are the divine riches with which God has endowed His church so that she can accomplish her apostolic labors among the vicissitudes of her earthly life and down through the centuries, so that the gates of hell will never prevail against her. Please answer question 138. Do you believe that, as part of the means of salvation, there absolutely must be bishops and priests always living who actually possess real, lawful, spiritual jurisdiction? Please answer question 139. Do you believe that the traditionalist movement clerics speak truthfully when they say that no bishop in the traditionalist movement has authority, jurisdiction, and mission? A very important question is this. If Archbishop Thuc accepted the Novus Ordo sect as the Catholic Church until February 25, 1982, who and where were the Catholic bishops that never accepted the Novus Ordo sect as Catholic? I do not have the exact answer to this question. As of today, I do not know who those bishops are or where they are located. However, from the information provided above, I believe they must exist.